But Deuteronomy 11. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. While you're heading there, let me give you the context of this scripture, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. You have to start way up to get the message. But I started talking about this Wednesday night, and I felt so that it was so important. And I want to tell you the objective of this here as we're going into this. You are a spirit.
Yes.
And so if we can build on that, we can see how our faith will work.
Right.
And so I wanted to make a run at this one more time. I believe the Lord told me to. The context of this scripture is God's talking to Israel about a new land he's going to take them into. It's, you know the saying, a land flowing with milk and honey. Understand that they, you know, they came out of Egypt and you had to dig a ditch to get water to your plants from the river. Well, in this land, it rains. In this land, everything's beautiful and green. So says God in this scripture. And so he's coming on down there and he begins to talk about some things. In verse 21, he's saying to them, keep the covenant faithfully and you're going to have this. Now for us, for New Testament people, have faith in Jesus who's kept the covenant and you're going to have this, because you're not always perfect, but Jesus has already paid for that. And so you would just be faithful to what he's done. Amen. And believe it. And that doesn't mean, that's not an excuse to just live however you want to, but that is still basically the frontline truth here. And then the rest of it rolls in as you begin to do that. Now, Deuteronomy 11:21 says that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. So days will be multiplied, the days of your children will be good, as you are willing to follow God in these things. You're going to live in the land, you're going to enjoy the land, because you have covenant rights.
Yeah.
You have covenant rights, okay? Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, help everybody today to stay focused, help everybody today to get what I'm saying. This is not too hard for anyone here. In Jesus' name, we're going to get this today. And I thank you for it. So, two thoughts here about heaven on earth. One thought is heaven does touch earth every day, just even in the natural. If you look out at the horizon, heaven is touching earth, right? That's really simple. So we could read the scripture saying, well, you're going to have this just as long as heaven touches earth. That's good. That's good. Amen. It's a good thing. But then you also, when you go in and you begin to read and look up these words, the word heaven upon the earth, there's also, says this, the place where God abides. So heaven touching earth.
Okay.
The heavenly realm are what we're going to call today the fourth dimension. We are three-dimensional people. We live in the third dimension. We live at a certain place in light speed, okay?
Right.
Certain place in light speed. Light speed is really fast. Amen. But we live in a certain level, and then God's kingdom, you probably know that Einstein talked about this. He said if I sped you up fast enough, you'd disappear. You know that law? Okay. So the faster you go, the less someone could see you. You know, you've seen that with Beep Beep, the Road Runner. He's standing right here, and in a minute you can't see him. Anyway, so there are angelic forces present right now. You have angels that look out over you. At least one, probably two, say the Jews. And then there are certain angels that come and go from us. We have several angels here, and there's probably one telling me what to say.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've experienced that. Those helping us with what we're doing. But you're not seeing them with these. But you could sense them if you were sensitive enough.
Right.
Amen. Or I don't feel anything. Well, that's what I'm trying to help you with.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not way out there. This is truth. So what we have here is what we're heading toward, or what we want, is heaven on earth. Heaven on earth is not just for people who are in love. Well, I'm just having heaven on earth with my new girl. I love my new girl. Oh, just having heaven on, no. Now, he's my boyfriend. That's wonderful, but I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm about that kind of heaven. I'm talking about where God abides.
Yeah.
Amen. Which sometimes that's right, because when you get in God's will and meet the right person, you will have heaven on earth. If you know how to live in heaven on earth. Okay, I need to quit beating around here and get going. Okay, so I want you to look at the context. Look at 11:10, where you are there. Deuteronomy 11:10. I just want to read a little bit more scripture today so that you will lock into this thinking. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt for which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, and a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. You got that? So this is something that God's always looking at. This is something that God always cares about. He cares about you. He cares about your land. Amen. So our earthly life can be like heaven. That's why Jesus said to pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say pray like have hell on earth. He said pray to have heaven on earth. And so obviously if Jesus said it, I believe it. Amen. Maybe some of you all believe it as well. So, I think what we need to realize today, church, is that God made earth in the beginning just like heaven. Mm-hmm. It was made just like heaven. When he was creating, this earth was a mirror of heaven. Now, some things happened that happened between verse 1 and verse 2. It wasn't just a couple of minutes that took place. Because the enemy ended up being put here. And so there was darkness upon the face of the earth. But God stepped in. Now you got to read the Hebrew to get that, okay? So it was void. It was without form. But God came in and began to deal with it. So he created it, and then he had to go back and do some other things to it. Do you get that? Okay. All right. So, he made it to look like heaven. And Genesis is God creating that parallel world. You've read it. And the plant kind that he created was like the heaven kind he created. And the grass kind was like the heaven kind that was created. And God saw that it was good. Remember those words?
Yeah.
I need to go back and read that to you. You know this. God saw that it was good, right? You remember him saying that? And good, we know, according to the sages, you can't get any better if something's good. Can I tell you, God was doing quality control.
Amen.
He made it like heaven, and then he said, yeah, it is. It's good. Check this one off.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So he's approving of what he's making. Walk with me, okay? All right. So he made this parallel version then of himself. And that was Adam. Okay. Now, they were made like him. They were created. I'm going slow for a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
He made a parallel version of himself and gave that version king dominion over the earth.
Wow.
You're going to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
I've got this. You're going to have this, and I'm going to back you up.
Wow, that's so good.
All right. Now, so if he made man in his image, which is the word there, the word image there means spirit. It's a Hebrew word that means spirit. T-S-E-L-E-M. It's a limb. He made a spirit because he made it just like him. God is a spirit. You're like, Pastor, we know this. I know, but you need to walk with me through this because somebody in here may not know this, okay? Give us a break. We're going to walk through this. So he's made this man, and he ruled in this parallel place that we call the fourth dimension. So now you have to understand that heaven is outside time. There's no time there. That's why when you get there, your mom and them are going to look good. Right. Some of y'all have mom and them still here, and that's wonderful. My mom's still going to be young when I get there. They're not going to be all, yeah, okay. I'm 175 and no, they're looking good. They're outside of time. God created time for us because this needed to eventually come to an end and start over. Okay, so now Adam then, though, he has this dual citizenship. He traveled between two parallel universes. He is able to function in the spirit realm. He's able to function on the earth. All right. Now, just in case this is messing you up, let me read this to you. This is Genesis 1, 26, okay? No. Back up. Yeah, 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Did I just tell you that? Okay. Now that's Genesis 1. Now some people go, well, how come he repeated himself in Genesis 2? He did not. Now here's what he said in Genesis 2. He said, I didn't look this up before, so just a second. Here it is, verse 7, 2:7. "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground." So, he created and now he's forming.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. "Out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a speaking spirit." Okay. Did you see? There's creation and formation.
Yes.
Creation and formation. Just want to make sure you're getting that. So the book of Genesis is actually the gene pool of God, okay? So it's the story of our DNA, where we came from, and how we became who we are now. Listen, make sure you get this, the story of creation and the story of formation. To whoever will hear this, you need to understand there are two different things, but they go perfectly together, okay? Now, he formed him and he breathed into him. Is that messing with your mind? No, don't let it mess with your mind. I'll just prove to you in a minute, but Adam was still in God. We are all still in God until we're conceived and placed on the side of mother's womb.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
We're in God. And then God said when he breathed his life, Don't get the picture that that's right when he created. There was a form and he sent what he had already created. You know, he just turned him up and can y'all get that picture?
Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord, you are quiet. Okay. Anyway, here's your proof. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, the Lord's talking to the prophet Jeremiah. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nation." So he knew him before he was formed. He knew him when he was created. So God created man in his image, a spirit. So you are spirit first. Then he formed him from the dust of the ground. Then he formed him and breathed into him. He gave him life. He sent the created into the form. You are like a dip comb from Dairy Queen.
Amen.
You're already created, and you got dipped in the dirt. Yep. God dipped Adam in the dirt.
Yep.
That's an easy way for you to get the picture.
Yeah.
Because you had to have that dip to have any authority on the earth. You have to have an earth suit. Just like they had to have a, in space, they have to have a suit to be able to function there. You have to have an earth suit to function here. But he is a spirit. Now, we'll go a little bit one-on-one here. God gives the light. Adam's created, dipped into the dirt. Body's the earth suit. Now, why did God seem, or why when he was walking in the cool of the day, did he ask Adam, where are you? Because I'm going to tell you why. Because Adam fell from that dimension. God's walking in what we call the cool of the day. That's not, it's not the word cool, church. It's ruha. It means spirit. God is walking in the spirit of the day. He's walking in the spirit of the day. So he's walking in this dimension. Adam's not showing up in the dimension anymore. Because Adam is now fallen and he's now in another place having to figure. Now he's looking at himself going, have I always looked like this? Where's the glory? Where's the glory? You see it? So now they're both in the body. What we have is the spirit. Your spirit is in the body and your soul's in your spirit. When you die, I know this is 101, but please bear with me so everyone knows this. When you die, your soul's going to heaven inside your spirit. And for people who haven't lived long and grown up in God and everything, when they're going to get there, when they get there, it's going to be some work. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to grow into their knowledge of God and their soul.
Right.
Their spirit's intact, but they're going to maybe not know what you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I want to tell a joke, but it's probably a bad time for that, so I'll move on. So, Adam then, when he fell, his earth eyes became his birth eyes.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. Adam's really now born again, but it's the opposite of the way you were born again.
True, yeah.
Now he's gone down to the natural level. So he's gonna need to work at it here because he's making all his decisions out of his five senses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now God didn't give up on him. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know that he helped him in the way that he could. But we know that we got a whole lot more help. So he's born to the natural. So he's looking through those formed eyes instead of the created eyes. And then for us, Jesus came in and brought the Spirit of God back into the earth. When Jesus' blood was spilled on the cross, that blood being filled with what? Life and creation. Because his blood was not contaminated. So creation came back into the earth. The veil was torn. Spirit of God got out. So on the day of Pentecost, you know, we always, we miss the defining moment of the day of Pentecost because we always say, that's when everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost. True. Good. But that was the day that God no longer gave any person on earth the excuse to say they couldn't hear him. Because now Holy Spirit is loosed in the earth. God is talking to every person. Wow. And now we just need to learn enough and have enough revelation. Because revelation is actually what makes us distinct from the rest of the people in the world. We have revelation. Everybody else is living on information.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right? But on that day, if you realize it, there was participants, but there were spectators. And so that day, when those people began to speak in the other languages, the spectators went, that's my language. Can you see God in that? Can you see how God's saying, I'm talking to you. I'm talking in your language right now. I'm talking to you right now. And then the Holy Spirit is coming in there. And now every person who will receive Jesus, okay, I'm going to back up on that. Every person can hear the Holy Spirit and then receive Jesus. And then if you receive Jesus, then you can hear. But then if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can really hear. Okay, but every person that's not born again still can hear. Because Holy Spirit's talking every day. They can hear something.
Yes, they can.
Thank you, Lord. It's good, isn't it? It's helping us. Now, so, then God was not having a conversation with Jeremiah the formation.
Yeah.
He's having a conversation with Jeremiah the creation.
Yeah, right.
When God's talking to Larry, he's not talking to Larry, cute cowboy. He's talking about, Danny said my one weakness is cowboys. He's talking to the created person. He's talking to Larry the creation.
Yeah.
That's why you hear the preacher say, I didn't hear it with my physical ears. I heard it down in here. Because they're doing this. Now, let me throw something at you here. You're not really hearing. You're discerning.
Come on, okay.
You're actually discerning because you have three voices going on. Holy Spirit's talking all the time. Your flesh is talking and the devil's talking.
Yeah.
And so you have this CPU in here. Working all the time. Amen. And the teacher, God, is talking all the time. Your central processing unit is having to distinguish what's revelation, what's God, and what isn't. But it's not hard if you practice it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it seems hard to me. I can't tell if it's me or God. Well, that's why we're talking about this today. Because this is going to help you move over to the other side. It'll be a whole lot easier to go, that's God.
Yeah.
But so I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going, was that me or God? It was you. When it's God, you're going, that was God. The only way it's going to go the other way is if you're trying to resist what he's telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, now, I need to read you a scripture here. This is 1 Corinthians 2:9, and you know this, and I read this to you all the time, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. You are only going to get it from your spirit.
Right.
God is spirit. He told the woman at the well that there was a day coming when everyone that worshiped him would worship him in truth, the word of God, and spirit. Spirit and truth. If you're going to get some, those two things together are awesome, right? The word will help you hear from the Spirit. The word will help you not be cloudy. The word will help you know. If you read the word, you're going to know that you can't say, well, I believe God told me that so-and-so is going to divorce his wife and I'm going to marry him. That's not Bible.
Right.
Well, the Lord told me he's going to kill that. That's not Bible. That's real easy, isn't it? But it'll get way deeper than that. Is anybody here?
Yeah, very much.
So we use that, we're using that central processing unit to rightly divide what's going on the inside of us, you see. It's not hard. You just have to learn to just lean into it, to yield. Church life is about yielding. Well, I keep trying to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and I just can't do it. Okay. You just have to yield.
Right.
You just have to yield to the truth. You just have to yield. That's the whole thing. Just yield. Just yield. Well, Lord, I've tried to figure it out 17 different ways. Well, now just stop it and yield. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We have to exercise that capacity. So here's what we know now. Holy Spirit is talking all the time. Every person on earth can hear Holy Spirit if they listen. Every person. And I already explained that. Okay. So your central processing unit is picking up revelation, pushing out the human thoughts, pushing out the demonic thoughts that are imposed by the world that's governed by Satan. But what you have is revelation competing on that information highway. And our spirits get to be the processor of what's truth and what's lies. Here's a truth for you. When you do hear the truth, you know it.
Yeah, you do.
But sometimes it takes your soul a little time to work with it because you were at a religious institution before you got here, or you were just out in the world before you got here, and you got programmed that God would teach you a lesson by putting sickness on you, or women preachers are not in the Bible, and you know, junk like that. But once the truth is exposed to you and you really look in the Bible, then you go, oh. Deb's testimony is that she worked at a place where there were people who were out of it in their minds. And someone says, you know, that's just demonic stuff. And she said, I wasn't even born again, but I knew that was the truth. I knew that was the truth. When he said it, I knew it was the truth. Truth will cut through.
Yeah.
And it'll particularly cut through with you.
Yeah.
Because you are spirit-filled.
Yet
people can resist it, and people do, because they don't want to obey God. I had to say that. So you learn, though, to look through these creative eyes. You have a choice. Don't let your form con you. Don't be conformed. Don't let your form con you. Don't let the flesh part of you con you.
Wow.
Be transformed. You actually, that's metamorphosis. You actually are transformed by the Spirit. Your life will change. You're empowered to change if you do it by the Spirit instead of that church. That's why everyone that's in a, like in a religious church and they're told, this is what we do here. This is what we do here. This is what we do here. If you don't do this, you're bad. You're going to go to hell. If you do, you know, and all those kind of things. And they have a lot of legalism and stuff, you know, y'all know it all. I don't have to point anything out, But you never get anywhere like that. But if you're transformed, then it's much easier to act like Jesus. I'm almost done. And I need you to really stay focused. So you're transformed to change. So you're hearing the right part of you. What can you do? And this is what we wanted to get to today. Since I'm hearing the right thing and the right truth, are you?
Yes.
Then what can you do? Since your creative part of you, because remember, you were Adam backwards. Jesus paid for it.
Okay.
You're born again into, you have a creation going inside.
Right.
You're not just listening to your form.
Yeah.
You're not just going, well, it sure doesn't look like we're going to be able to do that. No. You are listening. You have on the inside of you the mirror of Almighty God. You're a new creature, creation. You are a creator. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And so you're living the opposite way from Adam, because Jesus brought back the created part of you. See, your spirit wasn't alive until you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It was there, but it wasn't lit up. That's why they call it born again. What Jesus has to do with us, now that we can all operate in the fourth dimension, you can. But now that you can operate in the fourth dimension, what Jesus has to do with us is teach us things using the third dimension. The sower sowed the word. The kingdom of God is like leaven. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. See how he used things in the earth to try to help us understand the kingdom, which is in the fourth.
Right.
Are y'all with me? And so you take those things and you put them in your creative part. You put it in your heart, or what we call your spirit. You eat those words, you put them in that part of you. And when you do, you are able to then produce that out of you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll make it real simple here in just a second. You can bring heaven over into the third dimension.
Yes.
You can bring love to override hate.
Yes.
You can bring healing to override sickness.
Amen.
You can bring health to override disease.
Right.
You can bring shalom to override pain. You can bring in trust to override worry.
Oh, that's good.
You can bring thankfulness to override complaining.
Oh, that's good. Come on, that's good.
And you can bring self-control, the fruit of self-control, which will override human discipline. And it's way better, because it's a force that's got power behind it. The discipline is form. Temperance, or what we call self-control, is creation.
Hallelujah.
You get that? You're like, oh, Pastor, I don't know what thing you're talking about. Come on. Come up into it. You have authority in two worlds, church. You have authority on both sides. But here's the good news. You take the authority that's in the fourth dimension and you use it in the third dimension. That's how all you see is victory. That's how you overcome. That's how you see the miracle worker. All these songs we sing about, that's how there's power in the name of Jesus. Because it's the creative side, it's the spirit side, taking control of the natural side that brings you into what you need. And now I'm just going to say this to you so that you will get where I've been going to all this time before we change the subject. And that is this. You can use faith. Are you listening to me out there?
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something important. You can use faith to bring the things you see in the spirit to this realm.
Yes. Yes.
The particles are already here. The stuff is already here.
Amen.
But your image and your words will bring it to you. Are you to it?
Yes. Yes. That's true.
You get that?
Yep.
See, God put everything here.
Yep.
He made it with words. He made everything that could make your new car.
Yes.
And it's here.
Yes.
I'm going to go simple here. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Your faith, if you get the image,
yes.
Faith is the substance of the picture taken in your heart.
Yes.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You saw it in the word that God wants to bless you and take care of you and give you what you need. Which right now we're talking car because that's real easy because everybody needs one. So God wants you to have a good car. Am I right, Amanda? She's in children's church. She just got a new car. Okay. God wants you to have good clothes. God wants you to have healing. God wants you to have peace. Well, let's just talk about spiritual things. Okay. God wants you to have a new car.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, I'm trying to rub you on that on purpose. I'm trying to get you to see that God wants to meet your physical needs as much as he wants to meet your spiritual needs. But the thing about it is you got to move into the spirit realm to get what you want, right? Healing comes. Why don't we lay hands on the sick? What are we doing? We're releasing an anointing in the spirit realm that goes in and changes molecular structure in the body. A long time ago, I learned you try not to everybody wants to be so humble. We need to be humble. We need to have humility. We don't want to have too much. If you have too much, you can help somebody. So get over that. If you have an extra house, somebody can live there while they're looking for their other one, right? Thank you, Margaret. Believe I will. I love me some Margaret. Okay, so here it is. The land. The house. The car. The job. The finances. The healing. The peace. The joy. The creativity. The vacation. Am I hitting anything you're interested in? All are just form until you breathe creation into them.
Oh, wow. Okay. There you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
We can go home now. Wow. That's just the truth. It's all just sitting there. You and I were just talking about land. That land is sitting there until I breathe creation into it. And once God says that I should have it, and I breathe creation to it, I don't have to depend on the price, I just have to depend on the favor. That land is yours. That land is yours. You just need to get it with your spirit. Those relatives that don't serve God, oh yeah. Just get it with your spirit. Amen. The relatives that don't want to come to church, get it with your spirit. Your ministry, get it with your spirit. That church building that we are going to build is already in my spirit. That's ours. Well, how are you ever going to do that? Same way we did this. Same way we got we have land out in the country too. Same way you do that. The church does. You're going to get it with the creative part of you. Well, I got it without it. Probably not. You think you did, but you didn't. Have you heard people say, well, I just got lucky and I got that. The word luck comes from Lucifer. That's not God. We shouldn't even use that word. God blessed you. Brother Hagin used to say, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. Because people don't realize how much God is favoring them already. Here's the thing about it though. See, it's always going to be your choice. Form or creation. Form or creation. Form or creation. If you go with form, you're going to get way behind. But if you'll go with creation, you'll get your stuff. You'll get your peace. Like, why are you always talking about material things? Because you need them to get the gospel done. Stop being religious.
Come on.
Now, if it comes to healing or an object, I'm going to take healing. If it comes to peace, I'm going to take healing. If it comes to money controlling me, I'm going to take spirit. I'm not going to take money controlling me. And I know you won't either. You can have money. It just doesn't need to have you. This is the way we get the gospel around the world. We are all partners of certain ministries, and the reason they're getting the gospel to millions and millions of people is because we give into it.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about the ministry, one of the ministries we give into, is they've never even asked us to help. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? Never come out of his mouth, ever. He's like, do what you want to. Y'all receive this today? Father, thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you created us.
Yes.
And you formed us.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. Mm. Thank you, Lord. You know, we always say what happens on the outside happens on the inside first.
Yeah.
So what's on the inside? Sound like a commercial. What's in your wallet? But really, truthfully, it's a good saying. What's in your spirit?
Yeah.
What is it that you just can't quite break through and believe that God would do it?
Yeah.
Because he can and he will.
Mm.
He can and he will. He can and he will. You just need to use the right funnel. All of the stuff's available. The healing's available. But you don't know, I've had this thing for 15 years, 20 years. Healing's available. But you know, Uncle So-and-so's been persecuting our family for 40 years. There's something available for Uncle So-and-so. He can come out of it. Amen. Well, I'm already this age, and so I don't know if anything could... Oh, well, that's you looking at the form.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't travel anymore. Well, that's you looking at form.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have the funds to do so. That's you looking at form.
Right.
Dollar bill is form.
Sure.
But you can be drawn in. You can draw in a lot of them by spirit.
Right.
Same way you do healing.
Yeah.
Faith, church. Faith. Faith is a force that will bring everything across that bridge from the fourth dimension to the third dimension.
Amen.
And that's what you're looking for.
Right.
Father, we thank you for our internet audience today. I ask you to bless them today.
Mm.
I thank you, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding have been enlightened today, and they will receive everything they need. Bring it over into their area. Bring it over from the fourth to the third dimension, and live in the glory of God in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye, y'all.
Praise the Lord.
Now, just us here listening to this, and I'm done, but I just want to say something to you. This is church.
Yeah.
This is church when you get something done.
True.
The presence of God is my ultimate always. That's what I'm always after, is the presence of God. I want to walk in the spirit of the day with Father. So what I'm saying to you now, that as a congregation, because the glory of God's been manifesting, miracles have been happening, things are going on, if you'll take what we talked about today and use it here, and make, when we say make your supply, it should have a whole new meaning now.
Yeah.
You're going to reach into the spirit, and Jesus is going to manifest in form. The glory of God will show up. The glory of God will show up through that guitar. The glory of God will show up through that preaching. The glory of God will show up through that prophesying. The glory of God will show up because you're bringing it into the heavenly realm into this place. You can do it in your house. You can do it in your car. You can do it at your job. You can do it at the bank. You can do it anywhere you want to do it. We were talking about being heavenly minded. This is the way to do it, sis. This is the way to do it. Amen. You receive this today?